Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hello, everyone. Just before starting this episode, I would like to say a very special thank you to all of the people who have entered my competition, which is entitled Your English Podcast. I've received about 80 recordings in total, and very soon you'll be able to listen to them all and then vote for your favourites. So hold on, because the special competition podcasts are coming soon. But for now, let's get started with this episode, which is number 210. Let's go. Hello and welcome to Luke's English Podcast. How are you? I hope that you're well. Hello to all my long-term listeners, or lepers, as you are affectionately known. Why is he calling them lepers, you might be thinking? Well, that's Luke's English Podcasters, or Luke's English Podcast people, or lepers, if you were wondering that. If you're new to this podcast, then welcome. This is a podcast specifically designed for learners of English. My name is Luke. It's my podcast. That's why it's called Luke's English Podcast. I am an English teacher and a comedian from London. And with this podcast, I aim to help you improve your English while also entertaining you and hopefully making you laugh a little bit in the process. I have loads of listeners from all around the world. So welcome to the community of Luke's English Podcast people, or lepers. Welcome to the leper community. Welcome to the club. I sincerely hope that you enjoy the podcast and that it helps you to get a grip on your English by practicing some proper, authentic listening. Don't forget to visit teacherluke.co.uk, where you can get lots more information, including how to download the podcast, how to find the archive of over 200 previous episodes, how to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and how to find transcripts and notes for episodes of this magical, wonderful, fantastic, exceptional, modest, and unashamedly self-promoting free podcast. Let me tell you about today's guest. Sometimes I have guests on the show and we just have a free-flowing conversation in English for your enjoyment and listening practice. Today my guest is a very funny friend of mine called Noman Hosni. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Noman was born in France, but he has a multinational background. His father is from Tunisia. His mum is from Iraq. He spent much of his childhood growing up in Switzerland. And these days, he's spending more and more time in London, where he works as a professional stand-up comedian. A lot of my guests are comedians, as you may have noticed. And Noman regularly entertains audiences in French in Paris, and now in English in the UK too. I think he's a very funny guy indeed. He always entertains me whenever I see him performing on stage, and I'm very happy to have him on the podcast in this episode. The plan is just to have a bit of a chat with Noman Hosni, but also to find out about his background, his learning English experiences, and some of the funny misunderstandings that he's had when trying to speak to people in English. Now, before we go any further, let's talk for a moment about English, shall we? Noman is a similar case to Yassine from episode 182, if you remember him. Now, I've invited Noman onto the podcast in this episode, even though, admittedly, his English is not perfect, because, well, I'm just impressed by him as a learner of English, and I generally just enjoy his company. I think that's enough as a justification. I don't really need to justify having particular guests on my show, do I? No, I don't. But nevertheless, here are a few things that occur to me when I think about Noman and his approach to learning English. And these are just a few things that you could consider if you wanted to while listening to this episode. All right. So Noman knows that he has to learn English by actively using it to achieve something. And he does this by not only performing stand-up in English, but also just by going out of his way to have conversations in English, even if he gets into some slightly embarrassing situations and misunderstandings sometimes. And you'll have to listen to the rest of this podcast episode to find out more about that. So the point is, he doesn't mind making a fool of himself sometimes, because he realises that the reward is a more rapid improvement in his English. He's prepared to go out of his comfort zone in order to develop his English skills. He's really serious about learning English, but he approaches it with a sense of play. I mean, he's aware of the value of just playing around in English. Sometimes just fooling around and having fun when you're learning a language is a great way to break down a lack of confidence that you might have. The point is, there's nothing really to be afraid of, because we're just having fun. And that's quite a good attitude that you can adopt, I think, when practicing your speaking. It allows you to open up, to improvise, and just to enjoy expressing yourself with the language. Noman is serious about learning English, but he doesn't take himself too seriously. And I think that really helps with his confidence. I think he's really funny, although that is subjective. But I'm not the only one in finding him funny. He's a professional. I think he's very funny, even if his English is not 100% perfect. So what that means to me is that he's already achieving a lot in English, and he doesn't let his mistakes hold him back. So it kind of proves that you don't need to just wait until your English has got to what you might consider to be sort of a proficient or perfect level, that you can still do things in English, even if your English isn't perfect. So his English might not be absolutely 100% perfect, but he is already communicating successfully. I mean, he's making people laugh, he's networking, having conversations with people, and so on. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to avoid making errors. I'm not saying that errors are all okay. Of course, you've got to try and iron out your mistakes in order to improve. And yes, Noman does make a few language errors in our conversation, as you might notice. That's certainly not a crime or anything, and it's all part of the learning process, as you know. But I am going to correct his mistakes at the end of this episode, so that you can all learn from any errors that he makes. I asked him if he minded that, and he said he was fine with it, and in fact that he thought it would actually be quite funny. Okay, so fine, let's embarrass Noman by correcting all his errors at the end of this episode, shall we? No, he really doesn't mind, actually. So if you do notice errors in Noman's speech, don't worry, because you will hear error correction and language feedback after our conversation. Do keep listening all the way until the end, because the language feedback will be really useful to listen to, because you can learn from Noman's errors. I'll try to make sure the podcast doesn't go on for too long, so I'll keep the language analysis brief yet insightful, and any minute now I'm going to stop talking and let you listen to our conversation. Okay, so hold tight, enjoy the interview, and stick around for the error correction at the end. And Noman, if you're listening, do pay attention at the end. You might learn to avoid a few common errors. And next time you can help me with my French or even my Arabic pronunciation, okay? All right, it's a deal. And I'm assuming that you've said yes to that deal, by the way, Noman. What I'm saying is, Noman, you owe me a French lesson, all right? Whether you like it or not. Okay. Right, everyone, so enjoy the episode. That's the interview and then the language feedback afterwards. All right, good. Cheers. Here it is. Here's the interview. It's going to start right now. Now. Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. With me right now, here in the apartment, is none other than Mr.
Noman Hosni.
Here he is.
Yes, I am.
Is that the right way to pronounce your name, Noman?
Noman.
Noman. Noman.
Noman. Noman. Namen in Arabic.
Namen?
Oh, man, you did it. Like, great. This is the first time I see that.
Really?
Yeah, normally when I say Namen to an European guy, you go...
Well, no one realizes, but I am fluent in Arabic. I just keep it a secret.
Wow.
Just for my special government missions that I do sometimes. But let's not talk about
that now. Let's keep that secret.
Yeah, let's keep that as secret as possible, because I wouldn't want to reveal it. It would endanger... Well, you know, the whole population of the United Kingdom. So, Noman Hosni.
Yeah.
Here you are.
Yes.
You're on Luke's English Podcast.
I'm so happy to be here, and I appreciate your microphone. I really, because I can smell the saliva. A lot of comedians came here before.
Yes.
A lot of people. I can only recognize the girls. But there's a lot of girls. Sarah Donnelly.
Yeah. Sarah spoke into that microphone.
Molly.
Yes.
Oh my God, I can recognize some men too, but I will keep that as a secret.
It's best not to talk about that. But you're picking up the smells of the different guests I've had, but you can only recognize the female ones.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is, no man. Let's not let's not answer that question right here and now on Luke's English Podcast. But yes, you're right. You're correct. Sarah Donnelly was one.
Yeah, okay. Molly.
Molly Martinez as well.
Great.
You're not picking up Amber Minogue?
Amber.
You didn't notice that one, though?
No, but I think she was talking far away from the mic.
Okay, that's the only reason why you didn't notice the distinct smell of Amber Minogue. Anyway, interesting that we've already started by talking about that.
Now you are recording.
Yes, we're very much recording.
So what I said before is on the records.
So. Well, the stuff about the smells of different female guests that I've had.
Yeah, so you can cut this.
I could cut this. I won't. That's going to be saved online forever now.
Okay.
I hope you're okay with that.
Do I have a choice?
Not really. I mean, this is Luke's English Podcast, and I call the shots around here.
You are the master.
If you want to, if you feel particularly strongly about something you've said on here, and you don't want it to be broadcast around the world forever, then you could.
It's going viral around the world. I know your podcasts are totally viral, actually.
Well, they're not that. they're not as viral as they could be. I think that microphone might be a little bit viral, if you know what I mean. Considering the number of guests who've spoken into it in the past, but that's what we're just trying to
get anyone from Nigeria or something.
No, not yet. Don't worry. I know you're concerned about picking up some sort of famous disease of some description. No, it's fine. It's safe. This is a safe place. No man, nothing to worry about here. So it's nice to have you on the podcast.
It's nice to be here.
How do we know each other?
By the comedy circuit in Paris.
Yeah.
About talking in English in front of French people.
How is that? I mean, you're a stand-up comedian. You are actually a professional stand-up in French.
Yeah.
I saw you on TV once.
Yeah.
I was just sitting there with my girlfriend watching a bit of telly, and it was the Montreux Comedy Festival. That's in Switzerland. Huge comedy festival, massive audience. It was on like TV on a Wednesday evening or something at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
We were watching like the French stand-ups. I was trying to understand them. I couldn't. I was like, I'm not convinced they're funny. Anyway, then suddenly you were the next comedian on stage, if you can picture this, ladies and gentlemen. A huge kind of comedy show in front of a massive audience in a theatre. And no man arrives, and there's a kind of a staircase which leads from the back of the stage. It's quite a high staircase.
Oh, I remember this.
And the comedians are supposed to walk down the staircase with all the music. You know, it's kind of like, and ladies and gentlemen, please welcome onto the stage, Noman Hosni. And normally what happens is the people walk down and they're sort of waving to the audience, and it takes them about 30 seconds and they get to the microphone. Hello. But what did you do?
I jumped.
You just jumped.
Yeah, I jumped. You know, the thing is, I was discovering the stage. I was with a friend. I say, you know what? I bet you some money that I can jump from the balcony.
Yeah.
And he say, you never be able to do that. I say, bet, okay. And before the show, because it was live, live on TV.
Yeah.
I was on the balcony. Oh my God, it's very high, because from downstairs it don't look so high, but when I was up, it looked high. And one of my and they say, man, it's you in 10 seconds. You have to be, you're live in 10 seconds. Yeah. And I see the balcony so high. I said, now I have to jump. My heart was totally, I don't know. Excuse me for my English first, because you have to learn English, but me too. So if you want to improve your English by listening to me, you're not in the good podcast right now.
we'll come on to that in a moment.
So one of my friends said, man, if you broke your leg, just stay down. Just don't move. Just don't try to do your comedy. And I was there, and I said, okay, let's jump. And I was impressed by myself that I have nothing. I think,
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, you leapt from the balcony, and I, seeing it on TV, I mean, it's a big drop. I mean, I think you probably underestimated it. I could see in your eyes you fell a lot longer than you thought you would. You were in the air for a second or something.
During the fall, I remember that I had the time to think, whoa. It's a long time.
So as the air was rushing past.
When you can think about it, hey, I'm falling for a long time now. It is not good.
Yeah, that's right. If you have time to think when you're in the air, then that's too long. It's too far. Yeah, but you landed it, boom, onto the stage, and you kind of carried it off quite cool, and you picked up the microphone, and you were very funny. I thought it was a brilliant intro. I was very impressed.
Yeah.
But so you're a professional comic in French, but you're also doing it in English, along with a few other people here in Paris. So more and more you're doing stand-up in English. What's it like doing it in English?
First of all, I want to say that I got my first gig paid in English.
You had your first paid gig?
Yeah.
When was that?
200 euros.
Wow.
It's small, but it was great.
Congratulations.
I have to mention the amount of money. No, I will not say from where and everything. And maybe the people who hire me don't know that and say, man, we were his first employer.
Yeah, the secret's out now. No, yeah. Man, I can edit that if you really want me to. You know, I know in France it's sort of not very polite to mention the figure, how much money is not really normal.
I don't care about this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you put it on air, I will kill you.
Okay.
No, that's okay. And I was so proud of myself, in fact, to be seen as a professional in English.
Yeah.
And listen how my English is good. So I was like, really? They're going to pay me to speak in English in front of an English audience? And it went good. I remember one of my first gig. I was trying to put a lot of energy by remove my French accent.
Uh-huh.
And but I do a lot of mistakes, so I write everything and I've learned it to be sure there's no mistakes in my English.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to the host, don't tell to the crowd that I'm from France or I speak French or thing like that. Just say the next on stage is. Yeah. And my name, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I did my best to get an English accent.
Yes.
You know, you drop the T. What? What? It's not available. You think like this.
Okay, it's pretty good, yeah.
And after the show, a guy came to me. He said, man, your gig was great, and I want to say that your impersonation of the French accent was brilliant. I say, oh, my God.
So they all thought that you were pretending to be French. Which is that a good thing or a bad? I mean, in a sense, they assumed that you were not French and that you were pretending to be French, but then that doesn't say much for your English accent. Then,
yeah, I don't know how I could take this, in fact. He said me that, and I say, I fail. I just think I failed.
But you made the audience laugh. That's maybe the most important thing.
Yeah, you're right.
So tell me about the way in which you're learning English. Obviously, we know it's very important for you to improve your English because you're doing more and more gigs in England and you're going to London regularly and you've got an agent in the UK now, I believe.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of like moving towards performing in English all the time and stuff. So what's your way of improving your English?
Got two different way, quite the same in fact, is watching TV in English. And this is for an English guy, watching TV is a waste of time.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just cool. So that's great.
Yeah.
I can watch TV and feel less guilty about watching TV because I'm learning. And I'm watching like at the beginning of my learning process, I was watching like between 2 and 5 movies a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I should be learning English as well. Well, obviously, I already speak English, but maybe I can sort of say, yeah, I'm watching 5 movies. Why? I felt like I needed to improve my vocabulary.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like an excuse to watch movies to me. But maybe does it... Well, I know. I'm sure it works, right?
The problem is there's a lot of different movies and a lot of different accent. And, you know, I was not raised by an English person who got an accent, and I take his accent without noticing it.
Yeah.
So I just mix all, because if I'm watching Game of Thrones, I got this accent. My dad, you're talking about my dad,
yeah,
like that.
Winter is coming.
winter is coming.
Sean Bean.
So yeah, Sean Bean, man. This guy, I love him.
Yorkshire.
I like him as an actor.
Yeah, and maybe you love him as a man as well. And I understand, no man, it's fine.
He's very handsome.
Yes,
he's a handsome guy.
He's very butch. He's got a very nice beard.
Yeah, I love his masculinity.
Yeah.
Masculinity.
That's correct. Right.
Is it the term?
Masculinity.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you're watching a TV series like 24,
uh-huh.
It's totally different. I remember an episode, because in French, great means super. Super great.
Yeah.
Super great. And I remember this episode where sometimes some episodes disturb me, because I remember this episode where Jack Bauer said to the President of the United States, "Mr. President, you are in a great danger." And now I was like, what is a great danger? Maybe they will force him to go in the roller coaster. Woo, it's a great danger. You were right. Something like this.
I love this kind of danger.
So I was like, some terms are confusing. And of course, I'm watching a lot of comedy in English.
Yes.
Because there's some term that's kind of, there doesn't exist in the dictionary. Slang.
Slang stuff, yeah.
Yeah, all the slang stuff. And it's cool for me to learn all the slang stuff.
Yeah. You can learn it from comedy. I mean, it's sort of, the thing about stand-up is that, you know, they have to speak in a very direct way, and they're using language that is very up-to-date and modern, and yeah, loads of slang stuff that you don't get from textbooks.
Exactly. It depends the character that you're going to do, because in comedy, it's about character, and sometimes you're just pretending you're someone else, because I was talking to my teacher, and my teacher said to me, you take another voice, but you have to choose your vocabulary, because the vocabulary of a teacher is not the same of the vocabulary if you make a kid. The kid will talk in a certain way, so I have to be cool with the vocabulary.
Right, so what you're saying is that when you're doing stand-up in English, sometimes you need to do different characters and voices. You need to be able to do the English. You need to use appropriate English for those people. So you need to have like an understanding of what formal English sounds like, what a child would speak like in English, and all these other things.
Exactly.
So you can get that actually from listening to comedy or watching comedy, because there are so many different varieties of English being used in people's shows, right?
The vocabulary is not the same if you're talking, if you want to do irony, it's not the same if you want to, it's a certain type of vocabulary to do the irony.
Yeah.
And the tonality of the words are different, and everything. You do it naturally in French.
Yeah.
I do it naturally in French.
Yeah.
But in English, I have to think about it before. Yeah.
You need to get to know all the different rhythms, because ultimately, like, these different intonation patterns or accents, they can be used as tools in your comedy. You can use them for like making jokes and stuff.
So you have to masterize all the things. When you speak in public, you have to masterize all the tools.
You have to master all the tools.
You see?
Sorry.
How good I am in English?
I felt like it, you know, I had to just throw in the correction there. I mean, you know.
Yeah, sometimes I do some mistakes on purpose just to check your English level, if you can be a teacher or not, but you can.
You're just checking my qualifications.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to throw in the word masterize and see if he can correct it. Yeah, sometimes I have in the past wondered about my students if they're doing that. If they're like kind of just checking that, you know,
or
I'm a good enough teacher.
Or they do the mistake on purpose or not.
We're going to throw in a mistake here just to see if the teacher's listening. Maybe I'm just paranoid, but I wouldn't be surprised if sometimes
I do some very basic mistakes, like, you see, the future is expressed by will. I will do that.
Uh-huh.
And if you're the negative is won't.
All right.
But it happened to me to say, willn't. Willn't. It's not correct at all. Once I was in the train, and the guy next to me, I see he has a book in English. So, an English guy. I'm going to try to speak with him to improve my English.
Okay.
And at a point, I say, willn't. And he was like, and he said to me after that he understood my willy went.
Don't tell me where your willy. I don't want to know where your willy's been. I don't know where your willy's going to go. Just don't tell me about your willy. And you're like, no, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry.
I got a lot of things like this. I was in the taxi cab and in London, and it's the first time I went in London to do a gig in English.
Okay.
And the cab bring me to the airport to go in Paris and. Or Switzerland, I don't remember, but during the time, I was talking about him, about Ricky Gervais.
Okay.
And we're talking about Ricky Gervais, and I say, Ricky Gervais is funny. He seems to be not very agree with me, something like that. And at the end of the trip, in fact, he don't understand Ricky Gervais.
Oh, he didn't know who you were talking about.
He thought that I was talking about British Airways. So, yeah, the British Airways are really funny. And, I got problem with my accent. So, when I say I improve my English, I mean it. I really improved my English because Ricky Gervais, the guy understood British Airways.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Totally different.
So you were kind of going, you know what? I really love British Airways. I just always love to watch British Airways on TV. He's thinking, British Airways have got a TV show. I must have missed that one anyway. Yeah, I just love the different sort of accents that British Airways do. It's like, what?
And the thing, when I realized he understood British Airways, I don't want to correct him because it's a fail for me. So, no, for 1 hour we were talking about Ricky Gervais. So I don't want to correct him. So I said, yeah, British Airways, goodbye.
Oh, my God. Ah, dear, this sort of thing happens all the time, you know, to people when they're learning languages.
And that's cool because this is material for my comedy, too. Because what happened in my life, it's a perfect thing for my comedy and each time I go to London, it happens something like this.
Yeah.
Each time.
It's very good.
In the train. Mm-hmm. And there are a bunch of ladies, and they're French. Yeah. And I was alone in the train. And one of them, in French, she said, il est trop mignon, le mec. She said, the guy is so cute. But in French, I can't understand. She thought, I'm British.
Yeah. And you were like, yay!
Yeah, I said, that's cool. And after she came to talk with me, and I don't want to embarrass her, so I was trying to fake a British accent.
How long did you manage to keep it up?
Oh, it was very, very short, but if you want to see the end of the story, come to see the French Fried Comedy Night Tuesday.
There's a plug for you. Really, if you turn that into a story for the stage,
So
you can't tell us the story now? We don't have to wait?
No, it's like, it's an advertising for the show. Okay. That's great. I put some advertising like this.
Very good. A little plug.
Thank you for the new term that you put in my vocabulary.
That's definitely the term. He's just plugging the French Fried Comedy Night, which if you're in town, folks, some of you might know about this already. Some of you have actually already been. So those of you who have come, well done. You've made the right choice.
Yeah. Good decision. We are in Paris, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the show is in Paris.
That's right. At the moment.
At the moment, we're in Paris. But maybe you will listen to this podcast in 2 days, 3 days, 1 month, 2 years.
Yeah.
And maybe we were not. So it's an advertising for the moment.
Yes.
I mean.
Yeah. Right now, as we say, as we're recording this, the show is.
Tonight.
Tonight, it's every Tuesday night in a place called Le Paname.
Yeah.
In near République.
In Goncourt.
Goncourt.
Oh, your Arabic accent is better than your French accent. Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, my French is not very good, I have to say. No, man. I've been here for 2 years. I experience the same kind of stuff that you do, except less frequency, because I still kind of struggle to get past, you know, hello, I'd like some bread, please. And
but you will succeed. You know what? 2 years ago, I can't imagine that I will have this conversation with you and understand every word you say. Yeah. I understand. I'm in the conversation. I'm talking with you. For me, it's amazing for me.
Tell me about 2 years ago then. Like, just tell me about how you felt.
The first time in English.
Just when you were speaking English to people, how did it feel at that level?
Even 1 year ago, I was bad. And sometimes they ask me a question and I don't get it. So, but I don't want to say I didn't get it. So I keep talking about another subject and then, he's strange or anything like this. The first time, my first gig in English was Leicester Square, the comedy store in London. And it was the Gong Show Monday.
Right. Now, for the listeners who don't know, the comedy store is, you know, the top comedy venue in London. It is. And every Monday, they have a show called the Gong Show. And it's really tough.
Yeah.
Basically, do you want to explain?
Yeah, they explain.
Okay, I'll explain. What you have is new comics come out, or comics who are not new, but they want to try out new stuff. They come out onto the stage. Now, the audience is full of people. And the idea of the show is that each comic has 2 minutes, right?
Yeah, two or 3 minutes.
Two or 3 minutes. Yeah. And the organizers of the show have handed out red flags into the audience, yeah. Right? And any time someone in the audience who has a red flag doesn't like what you're doing, they can put the red flag in the air. And if there are, what, 3 red flags?
I think, yeah. I don't remember exactly, but I think it's 3, and they gave 5. I don't remember exactly, but sometimes some gigs are like 20 seconds.
Yeah. So basically, if 3 red flags go up in the audience, then gong, they ring a bell, and you're off the stage. You have to leave.
Exactly. And they're not kind at all.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, if you do that in France, I think, give him a shot.
Give him a chance.
Give him a chance.
Yeah.
English crowd are more easy to laugh.
Yeah.
But they are more hecklers. They got this culture about heckling and things like that. In France, it's not so like this.
What's heckling, by the way? Because people might not know.
Okay, heckling is when you do a comedy and sometimes you are doing your gig and sometimes you got a heckler, a guy who's very not kind.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, not funny, not funny, shut up.
Yeah.
Something like this.
So it's like, hello, everybody.
Ooh, not funny.
Anyone ever take the underground? Because I was on the underground the other day. And it's like, tell us a joke. You know,
yeah, exactly. Kind of this is heckling. This is heckling. And of course, you have to get some bullets for people like this.
Right. Okay? Not real bullets, I imagine.
Bullet jokes.
Right.
Yeah.
Comebacks.
Yeah, comebacks. Okay. And I don't know. Sometimes I use a French expression. I don't know if you say bullet in English. Well,
we say bullet, of course, as the thing that comes out of a gun when you shoot it. But we don't use the word bullet as a way of talking about a comeback.
Okay.
You know, so... So that you tried to translate from French there, and it came out. It works.
And now I realize that French is quite aggressive language sometimes.
I suppose so. Yeah.
You say, for example, when you are annoying. I want to say when you are annoying someone in France, you can say "tu casses les couilles." It means you break the balls. You break my balls.
Right.
"Tu casses les couilles." You are breaking my balls.
You're breaking my balls. Well, we say that in English too, but only certain people say that. That's
French people.
Italian-American gangsters from...
You are breaking my balls.
Hey, you're breaking my fucking balls over here. Oh, you know, if you're...
Great impersonation of the Italian accent.
It's like The Sopranos. It is. No, man, it is. It's a brilliant impersonation.
I'm agreeing. Well, I'm impressed.
You may not have seen Goodfellas, but I can assure you that that's...
Yeah, I've seen the movie.
You have?
The problem is I've seen the movie in French.
Ah,
Silly, not cool. I need to see all the movies I've seen in French and English.
You gotta see Goodfellas, Martin Scorsese. That is
Les Affranchis en français.
Les Affranchis.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the name of a restaurant over the road from this apartment. I never realized
now
that.
You know.
I never realized that was such a cool
restaurant. It's a mafia restaurant.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They seem so nice in there.
Mm-hmm. They always look nice.
Okay.
But they kill people. Every time someone kill people, and after, you know, all the press come, oh, it was a very nice guy. I mean, they look nice, but in fact, they're killers.
It's just a cover. It's just a front.
He say good morning every time. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
I can't believe he killed a guy.
I can't believe he buried people under the restaurant. So it was very difficult in the beginning and so on, but nowadays you're feeling more confident. What I was going to say is that, there were moments when, for example, you were talking to someone and you didn't understand what they said and you just carried on anyway and pretended.
Yeah.
That's actually, I mean, obviously that's a bit risky, but in a way, the worst thing you could do is just not say anything and just let the conversation die.
Yeah exactly. You know? I was trying. The thing is, I was trying. Sometimes I was trying to make the accent. I was trying to do things. I can do an accent like this and keep my French accent. But I'm trying. I want to improve. I really want to improve. I put energy on it. I put sweat, literally, sometimes. Yeah. I want to succeed in English. So even if I don't understand, I keep the conversation going. Yeah. I want, don't finish the conversation, please. Let's keep going. Yeah. But maybe I should say, I don't understand, but I don't want to block people. Because if I'm saying that, sometimes, you know, people... When people see that I'm not totally fluent in English, they they adapt the vocabulary, and I don't want that.
So, no, man. Okay, what's happening is we're in a room. You know what a room is?
This is kind of. I feel like a kid sometimes when I speak to English person. Yeah. So that's why I'm keeping push it on my accent, because if my accent is too Frenchy, they going to talk with me in a way I feel really as a kid.
Yeah.
Or as a baby sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so he's French. Look, there will be garlic soon, okay? we have coffee if you need it. Is there a bakery near... don't worry, there's a bakery nearby.
I want croissant au beurre, please.
Yeah, so, okay. It's like, it's French. Give him jelly. Can someone give him some jelly, please? Okay. All right, so where are you from? You're born in France.
Yeah, born in France, spent 10 years in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Background, my mother from Iraq.
Yeah.
And my father from Tunisia.
Okay.
But I spent all the most time of my time.
Well, you've just created a new expression there.
The most time of my time.
Yeah, you're a rapper now.
Yeah, I do a lot of rap, English rap.
Yeah.
This is my aim now, is to do a rap single.
Yeah.
In English, of course.
Okay.
And with my mother. The most of my time. The most of my time.
Most of my time to forget the lyrics of this song.
Great. Well, thank the you. Improvisation.
Thank you very much. So you spent most of your time with your mom. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Speaking in Arab.
Arabic.
Ick. Yeah, but sometimes I love to cut the words because I want to put a suspense. It was in purpose.
Okay.
I speak Arab. Ick.
It's much more exciting that way. It's like, I'll be going on holiday to England.
England.
The land of Ing.
I love, you know what? I love the, you know, in my phone, I got a lot of... you know, trailer music?
For movie trailers?
Yeah, the movie trailer. I love that. And I'm a huge fan of trailer music. I make you listen some of them. And I love doing, like, the voice over, like, any music. I don't know. For example, this one. I don't even know. You listening?
Yeah.
Sounds good. In a time where angels were real, one man has to kill to survive. I imagine a lot of movies.
Give me one. I want to do one.
Okay, great. Another one.
Give me a theme for the movie.
No, in fact, you have to improvise with the song. You have to listen to the song and be able to do. Okay. Oh my god, wait a moment. We are on it. I'm on it. I'm working on it.
Okay,
no
the
music problem.
Is coming. The music's coming.
The I'm music just, is coming.
I'm getting myself ready, prepared for improv.
You want something romantic or action?
Whatever,
or?
Whatever. Romantic's good.
Romantic?
Yeah. He was a boy. She was a girl. He didn't know what to do with his underpants. She showed him. He became awkward. And that was the end. And that was the end of the beginning of this trilogy. That will disappoint almost everybody who watches it. Watch The Underpants Diaries.
Oh, your voice is so perfect.
Diaries. Underpants Diaries.
Wow, this is amazing.
I've never used that voice. I want, you know, what can I do with that voice? There's so much that can be done. Yes. When you have a voice like this, almost everything you do sounds like a Hollywood movie.
That's great.
One day, no man, one day that will come in useful.
His voice become mine.
I think I'm going to use it in my everyday life. I think when I order bread at the boulangerie, I think I'm going to use it in that voice. It sounds more impressive. Do you have, avez-vous une baguette?
How
do I do it?
Yeah, you have something. Do you smoke a lot or?
No. I don't know.
Do you smoke a lot? You see,
I've never smoked a lot.
have you ever smoked a lot?
No, I'm willing to try if you've got.
What is a lot?
I've no idea. I thought it was like an Arabic French herb or something.
Give me my lot. Where is my lot?
It sounds like a sort of medieval pipe.
This is exactly a medieval pipe. You're good in vocabulary. Yeah, let's share this loot and make peace together.
We can play medieval music and pass around a loot and... Yes. What were you saying? Oh, yeah. Do I smoke a lot? No. And I don't smoke a lot either. But
where does that voice come from? I've got no idea.
I think it's just, you just have to try and make this, you constrict the back of your throat a bit.
No, thanks. I don't want to do anything with the back of my throat.
No, it's probably wise to not, you know, leave that to the specialists, I would say. So, all right, so your mum's from Iraq, your dad's from Tunisia, you speak Arabic?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Gives a flavor.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Amasalika salam. Is that correct?
Yeah, great.
Thank you very much.
Oh my God. You really went in the secret services of your majesty.
That's right. They thought, who can we send into the Middle East to solve the peace process in a clandestine way?
He was a man. He was an Englishman. He was the wrong man for the job.
Johnny English.
That's
in
right.
Real.
They thought, who could we send into the Middle East or to the Arabic-speaking world who would not, you know, stand out at all? Let's send Luke because he's, you know, got the right skin tone. I've never been on any.
The sun will be perfect with you.
Yeah. Have you spent time in Iraq?
Yeah. Yeah, I spent some time, man. I was a kid, and the only thing I can remember, one of the only thing I can remember, is the warm. It was hot, but hot. I mean, you can imagine how even the flies are like this when they're like. you can kill a fly in slow motion. Yeah. She just see your hand coming. Say, oh, okay, I don't care. Let's die.
Wow.
The laziest flies in the world are in Iraq.
Really?
I mean, they don't want to fly. It's too warm, and they're just like, oh, shit.
We'll just stay here.
Yeah.
What do people say when you tell them that you're Iraqi or that you're from Iraq or something?
They literally think, it's when I say, hi, I'm Iraqi, it's like saying I'm sick.
Yeah.
Oh, poor guy.
Oh, I'm really sorry. Can I get you anything?
Yeah, something like this.
Uh-huh. All right.
It's weird to say that.
But you spent a lot of time in Switzerland too, so if you tell people that you're from Switzerland, what's the reaction there?
I immediately come back and saying, I'm just like you. I'm from. I have more money, and that's it. But I'm like you. We are the same. We are brother. Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? When you tell someone where you come from, immediately they paint a picture.
They judge
of you.
Yeah. You have to say, try this. You talk to a guy, and he immediately wants to say where are you from, what you're doing for a living, and try to don't answer this question.
Okay.
He will be lost.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know with who he's dealing, so they want to know. They don't. It's hard to take the person simply.
It's like dealing with like the French administration service. It's like, I'm afraid you didn't answer the question about your origin, therefore this conversation has been terminated.
Yeah.
Please log into the impenetrable French admin system online, where you won't understand anything.
Is it hard as an English guy to deal with the French administration?
Yeah, because I don't understand any of it. I do understand some of it, but
I think it's easier for an English guy than an Arabic guy who doesn't understand anything.
Oh yeah,
because you're more like an expat. An Arabic guy is more like an
Arabic person. An Arabic guy, that's
okay.
Fine.
So an English guy is more an expat, and an Arabic guy is seeing like more an immigrant.
Yeah, it's true.
It's totally different treatment.
I'm an expat, you're an immigrant. Yeah.
Even if I'm more French than you, I'm an immigrant, and you're an expat.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
It's more classy to be an expat.
Yeah. How do you qualify as an expat? You'd have to be just white.
I think it's about not only white, it's about to... Yeah.
it's white.
Yeah, it's white.
I suppose it depends on which country you're coming from and the conditions. Oh, dear.
Even if you're from the United States, I think if you're a white guy from the United States in France, you're an expat. But if you're a black guy from the United States, you're an immigrant.
Double immigrant or something, I suppose, as far as some people are concerned. God, it's complicated. I realize that we don't have a lot of time. No, man. It's been really great to talk to you.
And I'm sorry about all the listeners who... think they improve their English with me, because it's not the case. Just really, don't try to imitate me or use the vocabulary I used, because it's not correct for the English. You'll be understandable, but it's not correct.
But I mean, you're sort of being modest, perhaps. But maybe you made a few mistakes. But I think that there is something to be learned from your example, don't you think? You may not have got to like the level of English that you're going to get to eventually, but I think you know just the fact that you're confidently engaged in the process and that you're going out there, you're actually using your English.
While you're talking like Reverend Thompson, thank you, Rev Thompson. You were inspiring me, and thank you very much.
Because it's giving me
the strength to improve my English again, and to keep. I will keep it real, man.
Yeah, okay. And if you have any more problems or issues, don't hesitate to contact the helpline.
Okay. I give right now the phone number of Luke Thompson. It's +33 6 something. I don't remember.
Seriously, no, man. I wish you all the very, very best. You've started doing some viral videos last week. You started doing these little videos on Vine and on Instagram. Many of them are sort of, they don't involve any talking, so they're kind of I wouldn't say silent films, but you know, films that don't have a lot of speaking in them, so there's visual humor.
Yeah,
you started a week ago.
Yeah, you can follow me in Instagram, Vine, all this kind of videos, and I invite you, if you're listening just to this point, go to see my website, please. It's nomann.ch. nomann.ch.
yeah.
I mean, why are you listening this podcast to the end and not going to the website? I mean, there's no point on that. So go to see my website.
I think if people have listened all the way to this point, then they're committed enough to go to the website. But the thing is that you started last week with not very many followers, and already within 7 days of posting little funny videos.
Yeah, I've earned my 500 followers just by posting small videos. I'm very happy for all the support of the people who support me, and they keep me doing all these videos, and I really enjoyed doing this. It makes me happy to do videos every day, really.
Yeah.
And now internet, we don't need any more TV and things like this, so we can just unleash our creativity and creativity.
That's it. Creativity in America.
Creativity. Opportunity. It's majority. The T became re majority. Yeah. And in English, they just drop the T. Majority.
Depends on what kind of English person.
Majority.
Yeah, the majority of I can't remember the other
opportunity,
or the majority, the opportunity, and the
United States. Doesn't work.
United States. Yeah, we're going to go to the United States on holiday.
It's better for me if I'm doing like this. It's more easier. If I'm
all the vowels. You know, you have to have consonants in there as well.
You're very scary right now.
Am I?
With his voice.
Really?
Yeah.
No, man. You must remember to use consonants. If you don't, then... you will be terminated, okay? Is that kind of a...
You know, now, after this interview with you, the most incredible thing, and I still don't know if it's a joke, is that you are a teacher at the university.
You still can't believe it?
Now, you're too cool to be that.
I don't know what to say about that. You know, I'm just trying to...
I can imagine you as a... No, you are exactly... For me, I'm seeing you as the Robin Williams character in the... You know, just see the life with another angle, like this.
Seize the day. Carpe diem.
Carpe diem.
That's right. At the end of most of my classes, all the students are standing on the desks.
Yeah.
And smoking
weed and...
Yeah, they're all revolting against the establishment.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Okay.
This is your English Margaret Thatcher and everything that you have in your background that gives you that.
Yeah, it just gives me the power to...
Well, I'm so impressed by myself. I keep this conversation in English, and wow.
Well, well done, though, man. And I don't mean to sound patronising. I really don't. It just comes out that way. But it's been great fun to have you on the show.
It was a fun, a blasty blast.
Yeah, excellent. All right, well, see you soon. In fact, I'll see you now because,
we are going to another radio show in French.
We're going to go onto a French radio station.
Yeah, exactly.
No man.
I want to pee. You see, this is why I'm standing up dancing.
No man needs to pee. Go ahead and urinate. Not here. I mean, you can go ahead into the toilet and urinate.
Okay. Where are the toilets?
It's just there next to the front door. Okay. That's it for this episode.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
for
it. And No Man ends his dispatch from the toilet. He's now going to go and do what is necessary. Human nature is going to go and answer the call of nature. And that's the end of this episode. Thanks very much for listening. Speak to you again soon. Bye, 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 bye. So that was my conversation with No Man Hosni. I hope that you found it sort of engaging and enjoyable to listen to. Don't forget you can visit No Man's website to see some of his videos and things. That's noman.ch, N-O-M-A-N. .ch. Right then. So, error correction and language feedback. As I said at the top of this episode, with No Man's permission, here are some language errors that he made in the interview with corrections from me. All right? Now, I've pretty much written down every single error that he made. I probably missed a couple of things, but I tried to be as vigilant as I could while listening to this because I know that my listeners like to pay attention to, you know, the language. So I've tried to be as careful as possible. I've tried to note down pretty much every error that I heard. Okay, now this might seem like a lot of errors. I've got a list of 33 individual things here. Now that might seem like a lot of errors, but really it's not that much because if you compare it to the number of good things and correct things that he said in our conversation, it's not very much at all. The ratio of like errors to, you know, correct language is clearly in favor of the correct language. If I wrote down all of the correct stuff, you know, we'd be here all day, wouldn't we? So what I'm trying to say is that considering the length of the conversation we had and all of the correct things he said, this isn't really that many errors, but I'm going to go through them anyway. You can see a list of these things written on the web page for this episode 210. And let's get started, all right? I'm going to try and keep this brief because I realize that the podcast is already into its 50th minute at least. So here we go. He said, I can smell the saliva of a lot of people. Now, saliva, he said, it's actually pronounced saliva, okay? Saliva. All right, you know what that is, don't you? Saliva is the sort of, you know, spit, liquid stuff that you have in your mouth. It's just in there naturally. It keeps your mouth wet. That's saliva. Sometimes when you speak, you know, when actors speak, you can see bits of saliva coming out of their mouth. It's a bit disgusting. But there it is. No Man started by talking about how he could smell the saliva of a lot of people who've spoken into the microphone of Luke's English podcast. Don't worry, I keep my microphones clean. I certainly will do now. Anyway, so it's not saliva, but saliva. Okay, saliva. All right. Number two, he said, what I said before is on the record. Okay, it's record, the way he pronounced the word record. He said record. It's actually pronounced record, on the record. If something is on the record, it means it's been recorded somehow. Sometimes we say off the record, meaning I'm going to say something. If you say something that's off the record, it means you're saying something that shouldn't be recorded, something exclusive, something kind of secret, confidential. If you say something off the record, then it's something confidential. Anyway, the way it's pronounced is record, on the record. So the record is the noun. Now, we do have a verb as well. Like if you want to, capture video or capture audio, you would record it. So listen to the different word stress. The noun is on the record, and then the verb is I'm going to record another podcast. Okay, record, and I'm going to record another podcast. No Man said record, which, sorry mate, it's just not correct. But we're learning, aren't we? Yes, we are. Okay. You may have noticed every now and then He sort of slipped away from past simple tense. He was telling a story saying, he say this and I say that. It should be, he said this and I said that. So that's just habit, isn't it? It's just a habit. I think that when you're learning English, you begin with the sort of present tense. You begin by getting used to saying verbs in the present tense. It becomes a habit. But you've got to add in to your subconscious the ability to sort of put verbs in the past tense as well. So he said this and I said that. What you can do maybe, and I'm talking to everybody here who's listening to this, when I'm going through these errors, these are not exclusive errors to No Man. These are errors that many, many, many people make. Okay, so what you can do is when I've corrected stuff, I might give you a chance to repeat some things after me. And it's quite good as just a little bit of habit forming that you just repeat the corrections after me. It's good for your muscle memory. You know what I mean? Like when you pronounce things, sure, it's your mind, your active knowledge of grammar telling your mouth to do something. But sometimes your mouth will just sort of automatically say or pronounce things in a certain way just because the muscles are used to making those noises. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you make sounds, you pronounce words and sentences using muscles in your mouth, your tongue, your jaw, and all that kind of thing. Obviously, it's your brain telling your mouth to do it, but at the same time, sometimes it's easy, it's just a habit to say things in a certain way. So by repeating my corrections a few times, at least you're giving your mouth and the muscles around your mouth a chance to remember those shapes and those movements. You know, it's like training sport. It's like training to play tennis or something. You practice your backhand again and again and again until it's a natural movement. You know, it's muscle memory. And speaking English is actually a question of muscles and physical activity. So repeat after me. He said this and I said that. He said this and I said that. He said this. So not he say this and I say that. He said this and I said that. Okay? Every now and then in this language feedback, I'll give you a chance to repeat some things after me. All right? Just for muscle memory. Okay. So number four, he said, from downstairs, it don't look so high. I see the balcony so high. Right. Now, the correction would be, from downstairs, it didn't look so high. I saw that the balcony was really high. Okay, so just repeat that. From downstairs, it didn't look so high. It didn't look so high. Just the didn't, okay? It didn't look. Now, the T is dropped as a way of linking it with look. It didn't look so high. Can you hear that? Didn't look. Didn't look. It's not didn't look, because that's not connected. It's didn't look. But there is a kind of thing. It didn't look so high. From downstairs, it didn't look so high. Didn't. Yeah. I saw that the balcony was really high. The balcony was really high. Here was. That's was. The balcony was really high. Was really high. Say that. Was really high. The balcony was really high. From downstairs, it didn't look so high. But then I saw that the balcony was really high. Okay, number five, you're not in the good podcast right now. And okay, so that would be corrected as you're not listening to the right podcast right now. You're not listening to the right podcast right now. Now, of course, I disagree with that sentence because you're always listening to the right podcast when you're listening to Luke's English podcast. Number six, if you broke your leg, just stay down. If you broke your leg, just stay down. So here, he's saying what a friend told him. So it's like direct speech. So it should be in the present tense because in that, you know, it's direct speech in the present tense. If you break your leg, just stay down. If you break your leg, just stay down. Right. Okay. It's a first conditional. Number seven, it went good. Well, it should be it went well. Technically, it went well, not it went good. Although saying it went good is kind of okay in American English. So that brings up a question, doesn't it? Is it wrong or right to say it went good? That's a good question for a debate. Now, because I'm, you know, teaching you British English, I would say it went well. All right, but doesn't necessarily mean that it went good is like some horrible crime that you should never be forgiven for. No, unless you ask certain snobbish people. But I would say it went well, okay? Right, not it went good. Number eight, one of my first gigs. Okay, one of is followed by plural, isn't it? Every time. One of my first gigs, one of the first times that I did that, it's one of my best experiences ever. One of the first times. Yes, one of is followed by a plural. Okay, get into the habit. It was one of my first gigs. Okay, all right. Now, number nine. I was trying to put a lot of energy to remove my French accent. All right, here's a phrase with the word energy. And it's not put a lot of energy to do something, but it's put a lot of energy into doing something. It's quite a common expression. I was trying to put a lot of energy into removing my French accent. Okay. I was trying to put a lot of energy into removing my accent. I was trying to put a lot of energy into removing my accent. So to put a lot of energy into doing something. All right. Think about, what do you put a lot of energy into? I put a lot of energy into my work. I put a lot of energy into trying to improve my English, you might say. I put a lot of energy into producing episodes of the award-winning Luke's English podcast. Yes, okay, I'm going to stop talking about the awards. I haven't talked about my award wins for a while, have I? No, I've been quite good on that. I just dropped the ball just then, though, didn't I? Anyway, number 10. He said, if I do a lot of mistakes, okay, common error, very common. You don't do mistakes, you make mistakes. So it should be, I make a lot of mistakes, which is quite an ironic mistake to make, I think you will agree. Number 11, I write everything and I've learned it to make sure that there are no mistakes in my English. So I think he's talking about one particular time in the past. So it would be, I wrote everything down. Because not only do we say, I wrote everything, but you also say the phrase, write down. So, I wrote everything down, and I learned it. I learned it. Now, you can say it in both ways. I learned it, or I learned it. So, it's either t or d. And in fact, the past form of learn can be spelt with a t at the end, or with an ed at the end. Both are correct. Anyway, I wrote everything down, and I learned it. To make sure that there were no mistakes in my English. Okay, all right. I wrote everything down and I learnt it to make sure that there were no mistakes in my English. So that's just fixing the tenses that he was using there to talk about the past, sticking everything in past tense. Can you repeat that? I wrote everything down and I learnt it to make sure that there were no mistakes in my English. Make sure that there were no mistakes in my English. You don't have to say that in the middle of that. Okay, number 12. Don't tell to the crowd that I'm French. Don't tell to the crowd that I'm French. Now, after tell, you don't need to. You can just say, don't tell the crowd that I'm French. Don't tell the crowd that I'm French. Okay, fine. Number 13. Here's a classic error. He said me that, and I said, I fail. Right, and so this is the old error of say and tell. Okay, now we've just had the fact you don't need to say tell to, you can just say tell someone something. But there's a common error around the word said as well. So you don't say, he said me that. It's he told me that. Or he said that to me. Okay, he said, say something to someone and tell someone something. Okay, so not he said me that, but he told me that. And I said, I failed. Okay, all right. Fine, so he told me that, and I said something. All right. Number 14, I was not raised by an English person who got an accent. So, should be, I was not raised by an English person who had an accent. Okay, so this really is a question of, like, have and got. Okay, now, in the present tense, we can say, I have an accent. So just have. You can also say, I have got an accent, or I've got an accent. All right, I've got an accent and I have an accent, the same thing. But in the past, we don't use have got for possession. We don't use have got for possession in the past. So I had an accent, but not I had got an accent or I got an accent. No. So just stick with have on its own, in this case had, for the past. All right, are you paying attention to this, ladies and gents? I know this is fascinating stuff. All the differences between have and had and got and have got and all that stuff. Oh, wow. It doesn't get much better than this. You hear the sarcasm? Can you hear it? Right, so let's move on. Number 15, some terms are confusing. It's plural. Some terms are confusing. Some terms are confusing. Can you repeat that? Some terms are confusing. Hear the way I say are, it becomes like and the way that the S at the end of terms links up with the reduced form of are. Some terms are confusing. Z. Some terms are confusing. Mm-hmm. Number 16. There's some term that doesn't exist in the dictionary. It should be. There are some terms that don't exist in the dictionary. There are some terms that don't exist in the dictionary. There are some terms that don't exist in the dictionary. I say dictionary. You could say dictionary if you wanted to. Number 17. You have to masterize all the tools. Now, we talked about this one. And masterize isn't the right word, although I quite enjoyed that word, but it's not correct. You have to master all the tools. So to be a master, so master is a noun there, to be a master. And master is also a verb, to master something. All right? You have to master all the tools. Fine. Number 18. It's the first time I went to London to do a gig in English. So here, No Man was talking about a story about when he spoke to a taxi driver in London, and he was providing a bit of background context for that event. So he should have used past perfect. It was the first time I had been to London to do a gig in English. It was the first time I'd been to London. It was the first time I'd been to London to do a gig in English. Okay. So I spoke to a taxi driver and, well, it was the first time I'd been to London to do a gig in English. Can you repeat that? It was the first time I'd been to London. It was the first time I'd been to London. All right. So it was the first time I'd been to London, so I wasn't used to speaking to taxi drivers, for example. All right. Number 19. He seems to be not very agree with me. He seems to be not very agree with me. This is, I think, an influence from French, and it's the same with many other languages, like Portuguese, for example. That with the word agree in those sort of Latin languages, you use the verb be. So it's be agree, like he seems to be agree with me. Well, no, not in English. He didn't seem to agree with me. So agree is just a verb, just like any other verb, and we use do and don't, didn't, and so on. Do is the auxiliary verb that we use with agree. So he didn't seem to agree with me. Not. He wasn't seem to agree with me, or he seemed not to agree with me. He didn't seem to agree with me. You could say he seemed not to agree with me as well. But not be. Don't use be. Okay? Remember that. It's not I am agree. It's just I agree. And it's not we are not agree, but we don't agree. Okay. Number 21. No, this is number 20. I've messed up the numbering. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. This should be number 20. It's actually number 21. Who cares? When I realise I don't want to correct him. And it should just be when I realised I didn't want to correct him. Okay, which is just a slip with the past tense. So repeat that again, just for habit. When I realised I didn't want to correct him. When I realised I didn't want to correct him. Okay, like when I realized that he'd misunderstood me, I just carried on. I didn't want to correct him. When I realized that he'd misunderstood me, I just didn't want to correct him. Okay, number 22. She thought I'm British. I don't want to embarrass her. Again, No Man, it's all in the past. You know. She thought I was British. I didn't want to embarrass her. Okay. I love that story. She thought. The French women thought that he was English and he pretended to speak with an English accent just because he didn't want to embarrass them. Just brilliant. It really is the stuff of like sitcom magic. It's brilliant. Number 23, we're in Paris, actually, but maybe you'll listen to this in 2 years and maybe we will not. So he meant we're in Paris at the moment. So actually, in English, actually just means in fact, right? In actual fact. It's not related to time. So we're in Paris at the moment, or currently, you could say. Not so actually doesn't mean now in English. Actually means in fact. And we would use at the moment or currently. Okay. So we're in Paris at the moment, but maybe you'll listen to this in 2 years and then maybe we won't be. Meaning maybe we will be somewhere else. So you'll listen to this in 2 years and then maybe we won't be. Okay. We're in Paris at the moment, but maybe you'll listen to this in 2 years and then maybe we won't be. Okay. You hear this, the contrastive stress? We're in Paris at the moment, but maybe you'll listen to this in 2 years and then maybe we won't be. Meaning maybe we won't be in Paris. All right. Number 24. 2 years ago, I can't imagine that I have this conversation with you. And that should be 2 years ago. I couldn't have imagined that I would be having this conversation with you now. 2 years ago, I couldn't have imagined that I'd be having this conversation with you now. That's worth repeating. Let's do it. 2 years ago, I couldn't have imagined that I'd be having this conversation with you now. 2 years ago, I couldn't have imagined that I'd be having this conversation with you now. It's amazing. Can you say it as one chunk? Ready? 2 years ago, I couldn't have imagined that I'd be having this conversation with you now. Go. Very good. Okay, number 25. I keep talking about another subject. So it should be in the past. And it's, I kept talking about another subject. I kept talking. Keep and kept. Kept in the past. Keep is a good word because, as No Man used it, keep doing something, meaning doing something again and again. But remember, in the past, it's kept. Kept with a t at the end. I kept talking about another subject, or I kept changing the subject. I kept changing the subject. Now, is the T elided? I kept talking about something else. I suppose it is. The T disappears a little bit. I kept talking. I kept talking. I kept talking. I kept talking. See the way they link? The T at the end of kept sort of disappears because of the next T in talking. I kept talking. Mm-hmm. I kept changing the subject. But it's definitely kept, isn't it? It's not keep. I kept changing the subject. Or I kept changing the subject. Either. The connected speech version, I kept changing the subject. The unconnected version, I kept changing the subject. All right. Number 26. English crowd are more easy to laugh. And it should be English audiences or English crowds. English audiences laugh more easily. Or it's easier to make English audiences laugh. It's easier to make English audiences laugh. Or English audiences laugh more easily. Okay. And here we have the classic I'm agree mistake. He said, I'm agree, I'm impressed. So it should be, I agree, I'm impressed. All right. Number 28. Every time someone kill people, so it should be every time someone kills people. Every time someone kills people. So it's just the S on kill. Every time someone kills people. Yeah. We were talking about, what were we talking about there? We were talking about the movie Goodfellas, which is a Martin Scorsese film about Italian-American gangsters starring Robert De Niro. You know Robert De Niro. And apparently in French, the name of that movie, Goodfellas, is Les Affranchis. And I was surprised because there's a restaurant directly opposite my apartment, my flat here, which is called Les Affranchis. And I was like, oh my God, are they like gangsters? They seem very nice. Anyway, number 29, he said, I put energy on it. Remember from earlier on, the phrase with energy, you don't put energy on it, you put energy into it. That's right. I put a lot of energy into it. Okay. When I speak to English person, when I speak to English people. All right. There's a slip. I'm sure he knows that. Number 31. I'm keeping push it on my accent. I'm putting pressure on my accent, or I keep pushing my accent. I think that's the one. I keep pushing my accent. He said, number 32, it was in purpose, meaning he intended to do it. But it's not in purpose. It is, ladies and gentlemen, it was on purpose. I did it on purpose. It was on purpose, meaning I intended to do it. It wasn't a mistake or an accident. I did it on purpose. Number 33, one of the only things I could remember was the warm. So here he's talking about Iraq. Now, when you heard him talking about Iraq, I said, how is it in Iraq? And he said, one of the only things I could remember was the warm. I wonder how many of you out there thought he said, one of the only things I could remember was the war. I wonder if you thought that. But no, that's not what he said. He said, the warm. But he should have said, one of the only things I could remember was the heat. Heat. So when you're talking about climate in a very hot country, you say it's, you know, I remember the heat, or there's so much heat here. The heat is really oppressive. There's a lot of heat here, not a lot of warm. Warmth. Warmth is the noun for warm, but you wouldn't use warmth to talk about like difficult weather. You'd use warmth is really positive. You'd say, oh, you know, I love being in bed, you know, the warmth on a Sunday morning. It's lovely to just snuggle up in bed with all that warmth under the sheets. No, snuggle up in bed with all the heat under the sheets. That has a different suggestion, doesn't it? Heat under the sheets is more like a sort of sexual thing. Anyway, heat outside. Yes, when the sun is shining on a very hot day, there's a lot of heat. And when you are drinking a nice cup of tea indoors on a winter's day in front of the fire, there's a lot of warmth. Yes. Okay, that is it for this episode of the podcast. I realised that it's reached its time limit. Thanks again for listening. And remember that you'll be able to hear all of those competition entries very soon. I'm going to put them all together in a series of podcasts. You'll be able to listen to them and then vote for your favourites. That's coming up very soon. But for this episode, for now, it's time for me to say goodbye. Bye, bye, bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.